pause. At the end of the sermon, I would like us to pray about hopelessness and the need for revival. So I'd like to spend, perhaps we can spend 10 or 15 minutes in prayer afterwards. So if I preached 45 minutes, you'd be here too long. So hopefully I'll just share briefly with you what's on my heart about the God of hope. And the text is verse 21, yet I still dare to hope. And this is a verse that comes after a very bleak scripture reading, which I will read in just a moment, from verse 1 to verse 21. And yet this prophet is able to declare, yet I still dare to hope. Now, if I ask you just to think for a moment, two or three words or a short sentence to define the word hope, just try it, because I tried it when I was preparing this sermon, and I found that it's not too easy to define hope in your mind. You're finding it a little bit difficult. We know that it's related to faith. We know it's related to God's working in our life. But if I ask you to do another thing, I think it's easier. I found it easier. Think of a word or words that are the opposite of hope. All right, that's the exact word that came to my mind. Despair. And that came quickly, didn't it? Where it was not so easily to come with a definition of hope. And we know that this is all what God gives to us. So I'm going to ask us ourselves three questions. What causes hopelessness? What causes despair? And then who brings hope into our hearts? And last, who are the ones that receive this hope that God has for us? Shall we pray together? Father, we thank you this morning for your wonderful word that you have given to us, and we thank you for the hope that is ours as believers. And yet, Lord, we do fall into hopelessness at times, into despair for one reason or another. And we thank you, Lord, that the prophets learned to testify and proclaim, I still dare to hope in my God. And we pray, Lord, that you will work that out in our own lives this morning, in Jesus' name. Amen. Hopelessness and despair. I was in Africa for 25 years, and in the 80s, we were building small country churches and villages out in the desert, in the northern part of Kenya, up towards the Sudanese border. We lived in pup tents, and we worked during the day. I'm not a fundi, as we call it in Kenya. I'm not a skilled carpenter or mason, but we had Kenyans who were skilled in that trade. But I did pretty well about driving a pickup truck and hauling sand back to the site and driving it back and getting rock and picking up the rocks and taking them back to the site and handing him his tools and helping him out. Several times when I came back from the desert to the city where we lived, my wife immediately admitted me to the hospital. I have the problem here, and I had it much worse there, and that is to keep drinking water. You know, in the summertime, how you carry your bottles of water and you keep drinking your water. For some reason, I don't feel thirsty or I don't think about it, and it was that way with me when I was in the desert. So I didn't know that I was dehydrated. And I went to the hospital, and there was a lovely Ugandan doctor there, and I'm very, very sick. He's checking everything, and my wife comes into the room in a panic, and she asked the question. She said, doctor, What's wrong with him? And he said, I don't have the vaguest idea. And he swore when he said it. I won't give that word. I don't have the vaguest idea. And I heard that. And hopelessness and despair because I continued in the sickness. Well, praise the Lord, he found out and he gave me what I needed. And after some days, I was back on my feet. But we have all and still go through times where we are feeling very hopeless. What causes hopelessness? Let's read from our text in chapter 3. The Lord says, I am the one who has seen the afflictions that come from the rod of the Lord's anger. He has brought me into deep darkness, shutting out all light. And Jeremiah says, He has turned against me. Day and night His hand is heavy upon me. He has made my skin and flesh grow old. He has broken my bones. He has attacked me and surrounded me with anguish and distress. He has buried me in a dark place like a person long dead. He has walled me in and I cannot escape. He has bound me in heavy chains. And though I cry and shout, He shuts out my prayers. He has blocked my path with a high stone wall. He has twisted the road before me with many detours. He hid like a bear or a lion waiting to attack me. He dragged me off the path and tore me with his claws, leaving me helpless and desolate. He bent his bow and aimed it squarely at me. He shot his arrows deep into my heart. My own people laugh at me. All day long they sing their mocking songs. He's filled me with bitterness. He has given me a cup of deep sorrow to drink. He has made me grind my teeth on the gravel. He's rolled me in the dust. Peace has been stripped away, and I have forgotten what prosperity is. I cry out, My splendor is gone. Everything I had hoped for from the Lord is lost. The thought of my suffering and homelessness is bitter beyond words. I will never forget this awful time as I grieve over my loss. Yet, I still dare to hope when I remember this. Hallelujah. And we're going to talk about what he remembered. He still dared to hope when he remembered what follows here in the chapter. I believe this is a picture of things that we all go through. We express it in different words or the same words. The darkness, the grinding of the teeth, being in the dust. Everything bleak, prison. We face this in times of despair. And the prophet faced it because he was suffering and feeling where Israel, the children of Israel, were in their sin. So this hopelessness for him came to him because of the sin of the children of Israel. And he cried out in that despair. And we know that sin itself, we lived in sin in our past lives, and we know the despair that's there. We know the despair that comes if we miss the mark in our Christian life, and we feel locked in, and we feel the darkness that is all around us. Also, Jesus himself, as I read that, I thought this could be Jesus speaking. As I read these words, I thought these words could be the words that Jesus expressed when he was on the cross. We remember how he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? And our sins and the sins of all creation were laid upon Jesus, and he felt shut out. He felt in darkness, and he cried, and he carried our sins on the cross. And then, as I've said, how we suffer when we give in to sin and when we were living in sin as well. But the hope comes in verse 22 and 23 because he remembers the unfailing love of the Lord never ends. By his mercies we have been kept from complete destruction. Great is his faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh each day. I say to myself, the Lord is my inheritance. Therefore, I will hope in who? What does it say there? I will hope in Him. I will hope in Him. My hope is in God. It's not in myself. Certainly, it's not in my circumstances. Certainly, it's not in my bank account. It's in nothing that I have myself, but my hope is in Him. We are kept by the mercies of God. Thank God for His loving kindness and His tender mercies. That's who He is. He never changes. Now, I've been reading in my devotional time the last few months through the major and minor prophets in the Bible. And I think this may be the first time that I've made an effort to read all the way through Jeremiah at one sitting, and all the way through the minor prophets, which is easier, at one sitting. And you know, it's been a blessing to me, because if you get stuck in the chapters of the prophets where they talk about the judgment upon Israel because of their sin, and if you get stuck on the chapters or verses that talk about what God is going to do in judgment and what kind of judgment is going to be upon the children of Israel because of their sin, you can start asking yourself a question: is He the God of love? Is He a God of mercy and grace? But what has helped me as I read through it all, I came to verses like this: but I yet hoped in the Lord. And the Lord would say, I had this happen to you so that you would repent. Another place here, he says, for a short time, I've abandoned you for a short time. 70 years doesn't seem like a short time. It didn't seem like a short time for the children of Israel to be in captivity in Babylon, but in God's economy, it was a short time. I abandoned you for a short time so that you would repent, and then I could bring you back to the land, and I could bring you back to myself. So we are kept by His mercies. We are kept by His great faithfulness. He is so faithful. And I love all the hymns and songs that we sing about God's faithfulness. He never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Have you found that so in your life? God is faithful. Wherever I'm at, even in the darkest pit of despair or discouragement, God is faithful. He's with me. And we all love the poem of Footprints in the Sand, wherein our most difficult time, He picks us up and He carries us. Also, it says here that it's a fresh, His mercies are a fresh daily supply. And we have the picture in the temple and in the tabernacle where fresh bread was brought in. And every morning when we awake, we can say, morning by morning, new mercies I see. All that I have needed, Your hand hath provided. A fresh supply when we are in despair, He comes to us. It also says here that He is our inheritance. We know that there is something set out for us that we may not be experiencing in its fullness yet, but it's our inheritance. He's promised it to us, and that gives us hope and brings hope in Him. And lastly, it says, I will hope in Him. Not only do we receive bread from God, fresh daily bread from Him, but also God makes us bread to other people. And we need to be aware when we are around our relatives, our family, our church members, that all of us, especially on Shabbat morning, we all come all spruced up, looking very nice, and hair combed and showered and fresh and perfumed, and some of us wear ties, not many of us, but we all look good on the outside. And yet inside, there's hurting. We have needs. And as we are aware of that around a brother and a sister, we can say a word. We can ask the Lord to give us something to say. Or often, people have come to me, they had no clue the despair that I was in, and they said something. They just said it, and I walked away, or they walked away, and I said, that was the Lord. The Lord spoke me, encouraged me. He gave me bread, gave me fresh bread. That person was bread to me, and it supplied strength and substance and lifted me up. And of course, by praying for one another and loving one another and living in the love of God. And so, this is a rock to stand on. Christ is the rock. Christ in the Old Testament says, it says he was the rock that followed and led the children of Israel. And he is our rock. I like the hymn, The Solid Rock. It says, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but I wholly lean on Jesus' name. When darkness seems to hide his face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. His oath, his covenant, his blood support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, He then is all my hope and all my stay. When he shall come with a trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness, alone, faultless to stand before his throne. And the chorus says, on Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. Hallelujah. Praise his wonderful name. We have a rock, and that's Christ Jesus. It's solid under our feet, his message and his love to us. And built on that foundation of Christ in the New Testament and Christ in the Old Testament is our assurance of salvation. The Bible has given us that we can have the assurance that he saved us. He's washed our sins away. We're new creatures in Christ Jesus. What a difference it is between the life of darkness and the life of light walking with the Lord. The life of confusion and the life of having the Lord lead us and guide us and show us the way, and we know what to do. Another pillar of this on this rock is the assurance that God has baptized us in the Holy Spirit. He said, go into Jerusalem and tarry until you shall receive power from on high. And God gives us assurance in our hearts and in our lives that we have that power to live for him. That's a pillar on the rock, Christ Jesus. We also have the assurance of sanctification. You know, it's very difficult, as I've said before, to hear the words, be ye holy as I am holy. Be ye perfect as I am perfect. And yet, one of the Gospels says, and it helps us so much, be ye merciful as I am merciful. God's Holy Spirit calls us, woos us, and draws us to live a holy life, to live in the love of God with everyone without exception. And as we do that, we become and are becoming perfect as he is perfect. Sanctification is a pillar of the Gospel. It's a pillar that is built upon the Lord Jesus Christ. He's given us that to us. Also, another pillar that we're standing on now as a congregation and depending upon is that Jesus has assured us of healing. By his stripes, we have been healed. We have been healed. And so when we pray for Annette, when we pray for Ray, when we pray for others that we know, we can pray with assurance that by his stripes, we have been healed. It's a solid foundation. And then lastly, we have the assurance that Jesus is coming again. Jesus is coming soon. Many testimonies. I heard one yesterday Sula brought from her place where she works at Bridges. A testimony of several people receiving angelic visits. Actually, angelic visits, and I do believe that the angels visit us at time, saying, get ready, the Lord is coming soon. The scripture tells us to watch and wait for the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then thirdly, in verse 25 to verse, chapter 3, verse 25 to verse 30, the Lord is wonderfully good to those who wait for Him and seek Him. So it is good to wait quietly for salvation from the Lord, and it is good for the young to submit to the yoke of His discipline. Let them sit alone in silence beneath the Lord's demands. Let them lie face down in the dust, that at the last there is hope for them. Let them turn the other cheek to those who strike them. Let them accept the insults of the enemy. Who are the ones who receive hope? They're the ones who wait on the Lord. In this chapter, there are three Hebrew words that are translated in English, wait. And the first one is in the 10th verse. And the Hebrew idea of it is like a lion quietly waiting. Waiting on the Lord is not sleeping. It's awake. And when you think of a lion crouching, sometimes for hours, sometimes for days by a water hole, waiting for a good morsel like a zebra to eat or other animals that they eat, he's there just not tense, but on the alert. And that's how we are to wait on the Lord, to wait that way. Again, in Africa, we were in a game park in a van, and we were driving around looking for elephants and lions and leopards and warthogs. And our driver, our guide, found a pride of lions. So we were all very excited. So he parked the van on this side of the pride of lions. The whole family was looking out the window, taking pictures. And unbeknown to us, my daughter climbed out the window on the other side of the van. She didn't go down on the ground, but she was, you know, a young girl. She climbed out the window. She stood on the window so she could look over the van and see the lions. Sorry? No, this was Debbie. Becky would have liked to have done it, but she's too small. Debbie, our oldest daughter. So we're still looking, not knowing she's standing outside the van. And all of a sudden, the driver went ballistic. He's shouting, "Get in here! Get out of there! Get away! Get away! Get away!" And she came back in the van. And we looked outside, and a lion that we didn't see by himself had come around on that side of the van and was ready to jump for her. What do you do? You know, what do you say? I don't think I scolded her. I probably didn't look very happy. You know, but it's what I'm illustrating is that movement, that steadiness, that going after the goal. And so when we are after, because it's my daughter. Did I change to? Okay. What I meant is now I'm changed, anyways, wherever you're at. Going after the Lord in a steady manner, just steady after the Lord. Everything, ears and hearts and soul, all waiting for God to do what He wants to do in the time that He will do it. It also says here, seeking the Lord. That's the ones that hope comes to, those who seek. Seek has the idea of praying, really being in prayer. There's a man named Ian Bounds. Yeah. Have you read his book? Yeah. It's very good. 100 years ago, he wrote about revival and prayer. He was a man of prayer himself. He encouraged other ministers to get up at 4 in the morning and spend hours seeking the Lord, being in prayer and waiting on the Lord. And hope comes to us when we are seekers, when we're seeking the Lord that way. And I would hope that we as a congregation, that's okay, yours is fresher. I would hope that we as a congregation would make it a goal to spend at least an hour a day in prayer, waiting on the Lord and reading our Bibles, because we're going to pray now in a few minutes for revival. But revival comes when God's people pray. You remember the lunchtime prayer meeting in New York City many, many years ago. They came together and they prayed. As the church prays and seeks the Lord, He gives us hope and He gives us revival. Those who submit to His discipline, it's not easy to submit to God's discipline, but as we submit to Him, He points something out in our lives and we say, "Yes, Lord, I'll let go of that. Yes, Lord, I won't go there. Yes, Lord, I will go there where You want me to go. I submit to Your discipline." Then hope comes to that one. Repentance also. As we turn to the Lord and repent, then we have hope, and also we are meek. So in closing, why can we be thankful for hopelessness? Why can we be thankful for despair? Why was it a good thing that all of these things happened to the children of Israel? It's because while they were in Babylon, they sat down and wept and began to sing the song that they had sung before. They turned their thoughts towards Jerusalem. They turned their thoughts towards God. And that time of despair and dealing of God brought them back to the land. And so the same with us. In the things that we find that are giving us hopelessness, whatever they may be, even if it may be sin, we can turn to God and find Him, and He finds us. And I thank Him and I praise Him for it. So today we have hope. And where is it? Who is it in? It's in Him. And so let Jesus be the focus. Let Jesus be the center. Let Jesus be our all in all. So many other things in the world, but also here in the land that go after us and crowd us and push us and concern us and weigh us down. But Jesus, keep Jesus in the focus. Keep Jesus in the center. Keep seeking Him. Keep waiting upon Him. Keep submitting to Him. And then hope comes and revival comes, and the kingdom of God is glorified in our lives, in our family, and in the nation. So let's bow in prayer. And these brothers, four brothers, are going to lead us in prayer. And then after that, I'm going to leave it open for the rest of you to pray out for revival and for God's working in our hearts. Father, we thank You for hearing our prayer. Thank You for hearing the spoken prayer. And thank You for hearing the cry of our hearts. We thank You, Lord, that things will not continue just in a everyday humdrum way, but Your Holy Spirit will fall afresh upon us, reviving us and refreshing us. As the rains this spring have refreshed the land, we thank You for the outpoured Holy Spirit, not only on our congregation, not only on the land of Israel, not only on this region of the world, but we thank You, Lord, that You said in the last days You would pour out of Your Spirit upon all flesh. And we thank You, Lord, as we look forward to what You're going to do, as we experience what You're doing in our lives even now, we pray that there will be an increase of our love for You, that there will be an increase of the fullness of the Holy Spirit. There'll be an increase of the sanctifying power of God making us holy. There will be an increase of our expectation of the soon return of our Lord and Savior, and that we should be and will be ready for Your coming. Thank You, Lord, that You are the one, Lord, that restores that which the cankerworm, the caterpillar, has eaten. And You are restoring in the church, and You're restoring in our individual lives some of those things that have been lost by the wayside. We praise You for it, Lord. And we thank you that on Christ, the solid rock, we stand. All other ground is sinking sand. And we'll praise you in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, Amen.
Let's all stand for a closing song. We had a full dinner, feasting on the Lord, and we trust that the God that hears and answers prayer will soon give us renewal of faith and revival spirit in our hearts and in our land. Let's sing.
I cry out.
Let's pray. We thank you, Lord, for the goodness that you show us on a daily, hourly basis. Every breath of air we breathe, Lord, we give you thanksgiving. And Lord, we would like in our hearts cry out above all that the veil over this nation would be lifted and that they would see your loving care, your calling them to be children of the Most High God in the fullest sense of the word and to receive Yeshua. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing amongst us, instilling that hope afresh of your moving above and beyond ourselves in ways that we have heard of old from parents and from grandparents, Lord. We want to see a fresh move in our time. Not just to read about your great deliverances for the children of Israel, but Lord, we want to see those deliverances today. Your action on our behalf and on the behalf of your people. We just praise you now and thank you, Lord, for helping us to live with an expectation and hope that you could break out in a mighty way in our time. Thank you, Father. Send us out now into the world with that expectation in our hearts, that well-founded expectation in you, the faithful one. We praise and bless you, Lord, in Jesus' name. And for your glory. And everyone said, Amen, amen. Go in peace. Go in shalom. Amen.